بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة فرقان is a very comprehensive dua. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Grant us wives and children that are the comfort of our eyes, coolness of our eyes, and let us be giving the lead to the righteous. Two things have been requested in this dua. One is our wives and children be the coolness of our eyes, and number two is that we give the right direction, the right lead to the children or the people that are coming after us, righteous people. So now in this dua, you are requesting some type of leadership. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And asking for a position is reprehensible. The hadith, the shariat condemns it. And here you are asked for that position that you can be giving the righteous the right type of direction. So it's a position that you are asking for. So this position that you are asking for becomes reprehensible when the intention is ulu or fasad. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ أُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. So it's corrupt if you are looking for some recognition, some position, some respect, looking for that. How you make out that your intentions are corrupt, how you make out? You make out that your intention is corrupt if you weren't given that type of recognition and respect, then you feel very much offended. So that means that your intention is not right. There is some blackness in the heart, and that blackness is not allowing you to see things in perspective. Right? If there wasn't that stain in the heart, then you would have been able to see things in perspective. But you can't see it in perspective, so that means there is some problem. Now, you need to attend to the problem. One is, I know the problem, but I'm disregarding it, I'm disconcerned. And one is to recognize the problem and thereafter work on the problem. Right? If someone sees some symptoms of cancer, recognize the problem and try and treat it, correct it. But if you were to disregard the thing, ignore the thing, and when that thing reaches stage 4 and it's irreversible, now you've created a problem for yourself. Now see, alright, under the circumstance, what am I supposed to be doing? Okay, there was a situation here and I wasn't treated like how I wanted to be treated. And I felt very upset about the whole thing. Now understand that there's a problem here. See, when you recognize it, that means the first step, you are on the first step of Adam alayhi salam. But if you didn't recognize it, then you are on the first step of Shaitan. Because when Allah Pak asked him, so he went on the denial. And a khayrum means he went on the straight away on the denial. So when he went on the denial, that means he's on the first step, the first leg of Shaitan. Now he's not on the right. Now he's going to complicate matters further and further. He'll complicate things. So the right thing and the sensible thing was by recognizing your mistake, understanding your mistake. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Whatever it takes to correct yourself, then go that direction, go that extra mile and correct yourself. Because this is so important. See, Allah Pak says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. He's starting off a surah sometimes. Sometimes he's taking an oath. Those that have got tazkiyah, then they have won. They have won. So the winning line is tazkiyah, nothing else. It's not how, which family you're coming from, what's the lineage like, and how much of nafil you have done, and how much of popularity and how much of acceptance you've got. So what's the winning line? The winning line is tazkiyah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. So at any given point, now you need to check by, am I right or not right? Am I doing it how I'm supposed to be doing it or not? Is there a stain or not? So at any given time, I need to be checking this all the time. In your quiet moments and in your open moments, by, am I on the mark or have I drifted away from the mark? You're racing now from, say, Maritzburg to Durban, you're racing, right? And you have to understand that you have to be on the route. See now, you're mistaken, right? You're running very fast, but you're running in the opposite direction. Can you tell the referee or the judges, you know, I raced, and within this time here, I completed that 50 Ks, so I deserve a reward. You know my how I exerted myself. They said, no, but you don't conform to our standard. You don't conform to our requirements, so you're not eligible. So the eligibility comes when you conform. And the conformation requires, the first step is that you must recognize, accept it. See, in Sayyidul Istighfar, the first dua that you make, you say, Allah Ta'ala, أَبُوُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوُ بِذَنْبِي. First thing you ask, you say, Allah Ta'ala, that I recognize your gifts, I accept, I confess, acknowledge. But by the same token, وَأَبُوُ بِذَنْبِي, I also confess to my wrong. So you have the heart to come out to Allah Ta'ala and say, no, I am wrong, I am accepting my wrong, I don't want to go in circles. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explained one of his murids, an alim, leading alim, when he explained to him, I think you've got pride. So now, when you are at a position, to accept becomes difficult. Leading alim, people recognize you. So for you to then accept that, then becomes very difficult. Because now you think to yourself, you know what, I've got this recognition, I'm known, I'm respected in my circles, and now I must go that extra mile to humble myself. It becomes a difficult thing to make a public apology. The whole world, I'm very regretful, very remorseful for my statements, my behavior, my work. You think it's an easy thing? It's a very difficult one. But now you don't want to go that way. You don't want to excel in that way. Then you can stay in that denial. But if you want to excel in that way, then there's a procedure. So he says, Mona, I think you are mistaken. That's what he said to Mona, that I think you are mistaken. So, hamare buzurg aise, our buzurg are such that they'll explain something once, and after that they won't insist, they won't persist. So, well, I've done my duty, and I've done my duty, it's, he must understand. He's an alim, he's an educated person, he must understand what he's doing. Now, if he's persistent, then he's going to lose out, but I've done my duty. In Thana Bhavan, there was someone, Muhammad Hussein, if I remember the name. So, this kitab, Ilaw Sunan. I think the name of the kitab was first Ihya Sunan. And he started it off. So you can imagine now what a great alim he must have been from the start of this kitab here. And he wrote quite a few pages. He started it off, the whole format, the whole preparation is done. And he's moving with it. So Abu Buzurganadin, they had that level of humility. So Hazrat Muhammad Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Thana Bhavan or some work or the other. And Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, a gesture of respect and humility, he said, this kitab is being prepared, you should also go through it. There was a style that my elder is here, let him check it. Let him read through it. Right? So he presented it to him, and the one that was compiling the kitab, writing the kitab, Muhammad Hussein, I can't remember the exact name, Ahmad Hussein or Muhammad Hussein, he was also around. So Hazrat Muhammad Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi asked him, what about this? So it went into a little bit of a discussion, and he raised his voice. When he raised his voice, so Muhammad told him, see Muhammad, this is not a debate. I am just finding or inquiring. So you don't have to raise your voice. He continued. When he continued, before him continuing, Muhammad asked him, alright, you know, I need that kitab. Just for the reference to see now, the references are right, what is the context, I need to see it directly. So Muhammad's student was Muhammad Zafar Ahmad Sahib. So Muhammad asked Muhammad Zafar Sahib, see that kitab is in the library, just go and fetch the kitab. So this person is writing the kitab now. So he says to Mulana, Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, aapko khud uth karke kitab lana padega. Kisi ko bejne ki ijaz nahi. If you want the kitab, you have to go yourself and fetch the kitab. You can't instruct someone to go and fetch the kitab. So now look at Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib. See, every step of this Buzurgan Adin is a lesson for us. So ye bahas khatam ho gayi. We stop this thing here. Because Mawlana can see now, is he's taking it personally. Here, it's a matter of your elder, and you think, alright, he's wrong, let me bring it to his attention. But now he's taking it as a personal attack, now that means he's taking it wrongly. When he's taking it wrongly, so it's no point in me continuing with this. See how they look at things. He could see right till the end, in one breath he could see right at the end of it. Anyway, the whole discussion was ended, Al-Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi had left. Whatever work and errand was outstanding, he completed that and he left. So as he's leaving at the railway station, he asked Al-Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, is this kitab prepared in support of the Hanafi Mazhab, or is it prepared in support of the Ahl Hadith and Salafis? So Mawlana says, Mawlana tried to just avoid the whole thing. He felt that Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi was affected, see, because of the way this person treated him. Mawlana says to him, you know what, this person is a little bit hot-headed, don't pay attention to him, and he brushed it aside. Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi brushed it aside. When he brushed it aside, so Mawlana Saharanpuri didn't say anything, just left it at that. When he left it at that now this kitab, Ihya Ussunan, went to the printers, and first, second, or third, till the third jild, or second jild, second volume, all was published, printed and published. Now the responses came to Thana Bhuvan. When the responses came to Thana Bhuvan, the responses said, is this kitab prepared in support of the Hanafi Mazhab, or in support of the Salafi and Ahl Hadith? Now Mawlana got a shock. What he said, it turned out to be exactly 100%. He's a top alim, great person, great muhakkik, got the pen, Arabic, got the flow, got the hadith, everything, and he's writing. Now then he had to then change the whole thing, shift it from this person here onto Mawlana Zafar Sahib Rahmatullahi, who then completed the kitab after that. Now you see this aspect, show gratification, self-admiration, this thing doesn't leave. You may think it leaves, you may think I don't have it, but you just have to have an encounter. In that encounter you'll make out, hey, I failed. But then it will take a man to accept it, no, I have failed and I need to correct myself. But if he's not a man, then he'll keep dribbling, he'll keep playing, no, I did this, and I didn't mean this, and how could they do this? So you'll go on and on and on in circles, you can't come out of that circle. So when Allah Pak pushes you into that circle, then you can't come out of it. Then it's very, very difficult. See, that's why Allah Pak said to Iblis, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعَنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah Pak see now this person here. So he says that this curse is perpetual, it will remain irreversible. But you see this pride, then it takes you to a chakkar, and the chakkar is irreversible. I was just explaining today, I don't know about in this week, there are so many domestic problems, you know. And in the domestic problems, that I had to conclude to quite a few of them that came to me. As you see, Hazrat Rahmatullahi was speaking to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. And they were discussing. So, Hazrat is saying that, you know, in this zamana, if you want things to go right, then the husband must take the role of the wife. And the ustad must take the role of the student. The father must take the role of the son. Then things will work out right. So, Hazrat says to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, bas ek shoba baki reh gaya jo mahfooz hai. One department is still safe. And that is the department of tasawwuf. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib asked Mohammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, aur ye muzi murid, ye kiski kitab hai, kiski tafsneef hai? Mohammad Thanvi Rahmatullahi wrote a kitab on the same Mohammad Ahmad Hussain. When he wrote this, the kitab came out, Mohammad called him, and he went on a tangent, and then Mohammad asked him, say, there's no fight here, but your style is different, our style is different. When our styles are different, our ways are different, then it won't be right for us to be working from one point. You carry on your way, whichever way you want to carry on, you continue, and we've got the freedom to do what we want. So you will find no opposition, and we will also have no obstruction in what we are doing. You go your way, and let us go our way. But now you see how Hatta refined Muhtarama's style, Amar Sahampuri's style, they're there to accept the mistake, or right, there's a problem, let's rectify it, let's correct it, let's acknowledge the problem and move on. Now, it's such a pleasure to work like that. But now, giving the man the run around, he must find me. They say in English, the loose goose chase. You're giving the loose goose chase. So we just left that thing now, we're chasing it. How are you going to get that thing? Imagine it's like an Egyptian goose now. They're flying here, everywhere, the whole world. Where are you going to make out? So, you're going to give the person the chase. And the simple thing was the person to come by, I made a mistake, I flopped the imtihan, I didn't do well, I need to be rectified, I need to be corrected. So Mawla corrected this alim, told him, see, you've got pride in you. Now he's not accepting, so Mawla is not insisting. Mawla would say, mujhe unse kya matlab hai? You know, it's not my matlab. It's not my hers, it's his hers. It's not my need, the need is his. When the need is his, then he must recognize, he must accept. So after a couple of good years, 5 years, if I remember, Kitab says, after 5 years, some odd, then he comes back tomorrow. You know what you told me 5 years ago, that was right, was spot on. But I couldn't accept it at that time. So Mawla told him, alright, whatever, make maaf and all that, everything was ended. But he says, see now, the rot has set in so deep. Now you've gone 5 years backwards. Now, when you've gone 5 years backwards, so first now, the rot has gone so deep in you. Imagine the cancer has gone so deep. Now to correct that. Now your health has gone in a different direction. Now to improve your health again, to bring your spiritual health back to position, how long it will take, it will be complicated. The simple process was by do what your father did. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Such an easy process, but the pride, that is the thing, that is the stumbling block, it won't allow you. You may do as you want, but it won't. Allah is saying, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. This is perpetual, irreversible. Take the cue from there, by just be humble, just go down, fall on your knees, and whatever it takes you to humble yourself, just humble yourself. And see after that, it will be as though the whole chapter opened out. The whole thing that was closed, was blocked. Now it just opened out straight away. See how important it is. This humility, pride, arrogance, attitude. That's, you know, in the words of some buzurg, sikkaya ra'ijul waqt. It's a currency of the day. What? It's a currency. Pride, arrogance, I am superior, you know, recognize me, understand me. Me, see this me. So that's sikkaya ra'ijul waqt. It's a currency of the day. And then, now, on the one side you say, I want Allah Ta'ala. And then you say, you want the recognition. Now how does it work? Can it work? More time, I said to someone, see, jisko kaam ka banana hai, Allah Ta'ala wants to make someone some valuable person, right? Kaam ka banana hai, to isko buzurgo ke sapur kar dete, ushaak ke sapur kar dete. Then he connects him to the ashiqeen. If he needs to be, Allah Pak likes him, Allah Pak wants to take him forward, then to whom will he connect him? To the ashiqeen. So the ashiqeen, see, ashiq ko, ashiq badnaam ko, naam se kya matlab? Hazrat Yusuf say, what? Ashiq badnaam ko, naam se kya matlab? The ashiq is already badnaam, so does he need a name? Ashiq badnaam ko, naam se kya matlab? This poetry I remembered, but I couldn't remember the last word, matlab. Aashiq ke badnaam ko, naam se kya matlab? I couldn't remember. Now, your boss Berger now, that word just came in. Aashiq ke badnaam ko, naam se kya matlab? Shudha, what he's saying? That aashiq is a badnaam. You know, the one that loves Allah Ta'ala, then he's, as though he has stained his name. What? Aashiq ke badnaam, ko naam se kya matlab? The moment you say, I've got the ishq of Allah Ta'ala, I'm going for the ishq of Allah Ta'ala, then you're going to get someone staining your name, running you down. It's going to happen. You're not going to avoid it. It's going to happen. Someone or the other will trample you, will tell you something. So in advance, the ashik is already told, he's already cautioned, ashik ke badnaam ko naam se kya matlab? He's got no need for a name. That ashik, he's got no need for a name. Then what is his need? Aashiq ke badnaam ko naam se kya matlab? That aashiq is already badnaam. Then he's got no need for a name. He doesn't need a name. Right? Don't say now no name brand. A different thing, right? Some of us think about no name brand or that it's bound to go somewhere else. We're talking of ishq, right? Ishq is a different thing. It's a different line. Now, if you didn't taste ishq, they said, oh, no name brand, what is this all about? Because you don't know what is love. When you don't know what is love, I have to induce that love, you know. Induce, start you off in love. It's a difficult thing, this. When that person doesn't have love, then it's difficult to push the person. So that's why they say the first step here is fana. You got fana, then you're moving. And the fana can only come right if you got muhabbat. Right. If you got muhabbat, then everything works. But if that muhabbat is not there, then you can say I got muhabbat at 101 times if you got muhabbat. But your muhabbat is just, it's a surface muhabbat. It's not genuine muhabbat. If it is genuine muhabbat, then you're not worried about the name. Who says what, whatever he says and what he says and what you say and what she's saying, but you're not concerned. Then you are worried about your mashuk. What are you worried about? What's your concern? Worried about the mashuk. That the mashuk must love you. That one day, you know, that mashuk must say, you know, I love you. But now, mera kaam to ho gaya. The moment that mashuk says that I love you, then your work has been complete. You won that whole thing. So that's the whole game, the whole plan. That one day, the mashuk must just turn around and say, no, but I just love you. So he is not worried about a name or fame or whatever. He's not worried. Whatever happens, or whatever doesn't happen, he's not concerned. His primary concern is, Allah Pak must one day say, I love you. See, on the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, the Nabi Sallam slaughtered 100 camels. So he called nobody. I don't think anybody did it. Maybe after that someone heard about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he heard, then he may have tried to do it. But up till that point, I don't think anybody in one go to slaughter 100 camels, I don't think anybody did. It's like a record that time. Now that's love. See, when you got the love, then love doesn't ask questions. You're asking questions and your mind is asking questions, that means you're not true in your love. And if you got love and you're really in love, then you don't ask the question. And asking a question means that you're not true in the love. Your love, you've got a love, but it's just a formal love. You see me right, I see you right. So that's the type of love you're talking about. That's a businessman's love. That's not love. It's a business. See me right, I see you right. But now, if you're escalating from business to love, then you're a different person. Then whether you see right or don't see right, then you're just moving. It's moving. You're not asking. See, I quote this example quite often. That's one is a businessman dealing, right? And one is a love dealing. A love dealing doesn't ask questions. And that is the lesson that is to be learned in this month of Zulhijjah. That when Ismail alayhi salam heard the dream, the immediate response is, if al ma tu'mar, just do as you've been commanded. So that was an indication of 100% love. Call it 1,000,000% love. The son responded straight away, do as you've been commanded. Do as you've been. Then he asked, you know, father, but you could have slaughtered some camels, at least you could have eaten the meat, you know. Or some sheep, a lamb, such a nice, beautiful meat you have got. Now you're going to slaughter me. Faida kya hoga? Did he enter into a rational reasoning? He said, no, just do as you've been commanded. So that's called love. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and to do whatever is required. The poet says, now he's getting forced to say this poetry, right? Hama ahwa sahara dil nihad barkaf. All the deers, the word is also a little bit thought-provoking, deer, right? All the deers of the forest, right? They have their lives on their palms, right? They have put their hands on the palm. Oh, that hadith, let me tell the hadith, then come to the poetry again. The hadith was, he's offered 100 camels, right? And then camels are brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, as they're getting lined up, and you have to slaughter them. They're lined up and you just stab them and they fall straight away. So 4 or 5 camels are presented. And now those camels are racing. Okay, which one will have the honor that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will place the dagger on his neck? بِأَيِّهِنَّ يَبْدَوْ كُلُّهُنَّ يَسْدَلِفْنَ إِلَيْهِ بِأَيِّهِنَّ يَبْدَوْ. All of them are running now, chasing. Hey, I must get the chance. I must be there. See, love. That is called love. So that muhabbat is a different thing, and a business relationship is a different thing. You have a business relationship, alright, we'll treat you as a businessman. But you've got a love relationship, that's a different relationship. So all this commotion and complication is because our relationship is just a businessman relationship. It's not escalated to the level of love. When it's escalated to the level of love, then you just do it. Okay. So he says the deers of the forest, they've all gathered with their lives in the palm. Okay. Mabada ke roze tu bashikar mi amadi. Perhaps they're talking now, that those deers are talking to the one that they love. Right? Now we're all there. Where the forest starts off, we're all there with our lives in our hands. Please accept this from me. Please accept this from me. See that? See, that is called love. But it's love for Allah Ta'ala. Then it's a different thing. It's a total different thing. Then your mind doesn't work. Now that's what Allah wants to bring you at this level. You know, all this, a lot of trouble is happening with the whole world now. So one dua is coming to my mind. So if it is the better dua, then it's from Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, maybe it's meant for another occasion, right? Because it's a Quranic dua, then you cannot say it's a shaitanic thing, right? So if it is the right thing, the appropriate thing, then it's from Allah Ta'ala. that in this day now, whilst with all this commotion worldwide, somebody's talking of Syria, somebody's talking of Palestine, somebody's talking of Kashmir, whatever. But now, what is our response supposed to be? You get into different gatherings, different sittings, and each one wants to give his own 2 cents. He gives 2 cents. Yeah, how can they do this? How can they do this? So everybody will give his 2 cents. Watson is killed now. 1 hour discussion, why they killed him, and what. Right. So there will be 1 hour discussion. But how did you contribute to the betterment of this country? Have you contributed in any way? But that free news, you like to listen to it, and discuss it, understand it in perspective. You know, I understand. I move the times. But what did you get out of it? Did you get anything out of it? So, now look at this dua of the Quran Sharif. And to me it seems like it's most applicable for these times, right? So this dua says, رَبَّنَا خُفِلْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, our sins, our wrongs, right? We're starting now. This is a dua of those who had given their lives, their wealth, and their homes. They gave everything up for Allah Ta'ala. So nothing to fall back onto. I've given my life, my wealth, and my home. Made hijrah, strived, given their lives, given their wealth, fought up to the ultimate, you know, ultimate you could think of, they gave. And after they reached the ultimate, so you can imagine now, what must have been the level of love to throw away your money, to throw away your wealth, to throw away your health, throw away your friends, everybody, just throw them. Can you imagine? So that must be an extreme, extreme ecstasy of love. That was the Sahaba Ikram. So we don't look at the Sahaba Ikram from the perspective of love. You say, alright, they did this khidmat and they were there, but do you see the extreme love? Throw away your wealth, your health, your life, your hometown, everything is given up. Only for Allah Ta'ala. But at the end of all the struggle and the sacrifices, but what is the dua that they're making? So the first line of the رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, do forgive us. See, when you're really in love, when you meet the beloved, then this is, you know, please make maaf, you know. Don't you say that? Because the lover knows, you know, what I've got now is unimaginable, it's unperceivable, it's beyond my imagination. I've got love. So what I've got, I've got something much more than what I could perceive. Beyond imagination, I've got this. And, you know, when I've got this now, then really, really, I'm not deserving of this thing here. And I have wronged so many ways, you know. And Allah Baqa is so compassionate towards me, so loving. He says, oh, take this now. I gave this to you. So what is their dua? Allah, I wronged. I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. I wronged myself. You know, I was explaining to someone. I'll come back to this dua, right? See, there's a lot that was in the old that was good, right? Was right. But with the passage of time, now we left all those good. See, in the past, what it was, that a Muslim family, whether very dini or moderate, right? The past, maybe some of you all may have seen, right? Say 30, 40 years ago. So what was the style then? If it's a weekend now, then you say, alright, this weekend we're going to this Khala's house. Next weekend we're going to this Kaka's house. That other next weekend we're going to Nana's house. And then some of the weekends they're coming to our house. So the weekends were spent like this. How? Nana, Kaka, Mama, Foy, whatever it was, in their homes we went there, we spent time, holiday time, and we came back, right? Now then, our minds changed. Our thinking changed, then our minds changed. When our minds changed, said, hey, but now this, you know, this old style of just going to meet the uncle and auntie and all that is too boring, man. And those people also felt different. Say, you know, we're stuck here, now we can't do anything, people don't want to come here. So we are stuck here, we can't do anything, we can't move anywhere. What do they think of our house? It's a mall, it's an entertainment house, so just come here. Just come and rock at our home, right? So, in one age, this was our mindset, that, you know, on a weekend, let's stay at home, so that guests can come, right? And guests also know that in the weekend they'll be around, so let's go there, right? But in the process, what we are doing? We are practicing exactly on the requirement of the Quran and the Hadith. Yasiluna ma amar Allah. The greatest advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to Abdullah ibn Salam, wasilul arham. So in the process of visiting or whatever, made some, for that day we did something, prepared something, whatever, right? But what we are doing at that time? We are joining up. Right? And when we joined up, now look at it now, just look at it in perspective from about 30, 40 years ago. I can remember, up till I was about 30 years or so, we'll go there, right? And it was a duty, you go there, right? You go there, you take something, they come and they bring something, right? But I tell you that with all the little that we had, there was a lot of fulfillment and happiness and understanding within all the families. Is it a fact or not? Those that are of age, they will bail me out and tell me that yes, there was less. We used to do these things here and there was a lot of enjoyment, happiness, fulfillment, right? Our daughters were safe, our sons were safe, and we had a direction in life. Then our goalpost we changed. When we changed the goalpost, now the weekend means, you know, we can't be stuck here in the house. Go to the zoo, go to this asylum, go for this race here, go to this park here, go to that, go for this party, go for this picnic. We need to go to Joburg, we need to fly here and come there, back, come back. I ask you, have your children learnt anything? Have they learnt the respect that they should show their nana, their kaka, their mama, their masaji, their fuaji, all these things? Have they learnt any respect for them? Have they gone and understood now what is the position of nana or chacha or kaka or mama, whoever it was? But did you go and understand, find out what is his position? Is he living well? Is he comfortable? Has he got a problem? Can we be of any service to the person at the age that he is in? Did we ever think like this? We became independent. No, we can't go and visit the Imam Shafi rahmatullah says, the one that doesn't accept an invitation, the one that doesn't accept an invitation, he's a very miserly person. So I was thinking, hey, what are Imam Shafi saying now? You don't accept an invitation, that means you're miserly. Because he's already working it out, if I accept this, then there must be a return. And I don't want to return this invitation, so I don't just cut it off there. See? So he's a miserly person. So that interaction, right, then you are there, right? And I've seen this in our homes, I've seen. Now your kaka is there, and he's giving it to you in front of everybody. Hey, what's wrong with you? I know my one uncle was a little bit healthy, right? So my granny used to be there. And the granny said, "Tu ina mande bando kari nako. You made him sick. You feed him with all his chips and all these things here, and you're making him sick." And she's saying it in front of everybody. And yet he's down, smiling, and carried on. But I say, how much of humility was learned? Nobody took offense. They took it in the stride. And they continued. Now, I'll never go back to this. What this woman thinks? She's seen as this woman, man. Mad Gandhi thingy. How could he talk to me like this? Is it a fact or not? Bewad, you can't even bear Biniyam Ravisaki. You can't tell the person one thing. He's so much for himself that you can't tell the person one thing you can't tell him. See this when we left. Now that life became complicated, expenses became high, we don't know your own relatives, father's friends, you don't know. There's no Sila, that Sila is gone. Now, who is this Sila Rahimi, you know, is maintaining relationship? Then, what you mean by relationship? What do you mean by relationship? So there's three explanations are given about relationship. But the importance of it, therefore I'm explaining, I don't need to explain all this thing here. But because of the importance of this issue of maintaining good relationship. Right? So there's three explanations. One is, see, it's impermissible for you to marry two sisters at the one and the same time, right? But the same token, it's impermissible to marry two women, say, the relationship between them two is such that if you say, for example, say, just hypothetically, that this is a man, right? Then the marriage between him and her will be impermissible. The relationship is such that say, for example, you say, he's a man. This woman now is the man. So the marriage between him and her will be impermissible. So to marry two such women at one and the same time is impermissible. Like for example, this is your Kala, right? Right? This is your Kala. Your mother's sister. Kala, Masi, Kala, whatever you say. So what does it represent? Kala. So that is Masi, right? is your mother's sister, right? And you got married to your mother's sister, right? And you got married to your mother's niece, right? Now, if one is, you suppose one to be a male, so then this Kala will be the mama, isn't it? You suppose one, the Kala, right? Suppose her to be a man, what she'll be? Huh? The Kala, right? Now, just say, all right, Kala was a man. So what she would be? Mama, not Masaji, Mama, right, Mamaji. Now, if one is a man, if you suppose one to be a man, the marriage between him and her will be impermissible. It's a mama and it's a niece. So can they marry? So to marry two such women at one and the same time is impermissible. Right? So now they say, why has the Shariat instituted this? They've instituted this because marrying such two relationship, right, will create taqatu, will create a severance. Between whom? Between the families. Because a co-wife is a co-wife. There must be a problem, right? A co-wife, there must be a problem. If you have a co-wife without any problems, do you hear? Maybe some places it happens, right? But generally it doesn't happen. The co-wife is a co-wife and you must have a problem. So now, any relationship of this nature, you know, I just explained this, that is called rahim. Any relationship of this type of a nature is called rahim. That's the first explanation. Right? The second explanation is rahim, in other words, relationship, what does it refer to? You say relationship. Somebody say, no, 45th cuttings, very, very far. Right? So what does it mean? So I showed you one explanation. Right? The second explanation is kullu qareebin warisin. Right? Kullu qareebin warisin is your relative and can be also an heir. What? It can be an heir in your estate. So that's the relative. Now those that say that this is the meaning of maintaining relationship, what is the support, how they support the argument, they support their view in this way. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had instructed, right, when he asked, who must I do sila with? Who must I be kind towards? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started off, ummak, summa ummak, summa ummak, ummak, summa abak. Mother, 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 thereafter, number four, your father. So, what he was saying, that you will show kindness to that relative that is an estate, that is an heir in the estate. So the mother is an heir in the estate, right? Understood? So that's the second explanation, right? And the third explanation is, kullu qareebin walo ghayru warithin, right? It's close to you, the person is close, he doesn't have to be an heir in the estate. What? He's close, but he doesn't have to be an heir in the estate. So that's the meaning of maintaining good relationship, being kind towards your relatives, right? So now, how does this work out? He's close, but he doesn't have to be an heir. So what is the proof for it? I cited the proof for the first two. What is the proof for this? That he's close, but he's not an heir in the estate. But you have to be showing kindness to him. So what is the proof for that? I showed you the proof for the first two. The proof of this third one is that someone asked, you know, who should I show kindness to after my father, right? Is ahlu wuddi abi ba'da ayyuwalliya, right? Is the friends of your father after the father is gone? After the father is gone, then to show kindness and respect to the friends of your father. See, but overall now this is the explanation, but then Allama Shami explains this whole subject and he says, this kindness must go like this, it must go according to relationship. The one that is most closely related, then you show the greatest amount of kindness, right? قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَلَقْرَبِينَ. See how it starts off. First the father, or the parents, and relatives, and so forth and so on. So those that are closest, you will show more. And then those that are at the second level, then the second, then at the third level, you will show them accordingly. See? But you show all, but in that sequence. That is why they say, if it's your immediate or your father, right, and he needs attention, and you neglected him, Right? You neglected him and you were kind to your others, to other poor people. You made sadaqah to others. This sadaqah of yours is not accepted. You left out your father, you left your immediate people out, and you did some charitable work. That charitable work is also rejected because the people that you had to support, you weren't supporting them. And the ones that you had to support at a second, third level, you weren't supporting them. So this sadaqah of yours is also not accepted. So we're talking of this dua, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. It just started off, and my mind just went off, right? Now, the importance of doing this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to find satisfaction. You're not going to find muhabbat. You won't find an understanding within the home, the framework of them, you're going to find it. So you'll try to look for it here, everywhere, you'll be speculating. No, I'll do this, I'll get the happiness. I'll do this. By what Nabi Sam has explained, you do that and you will get the happiness. Do it. Simple, straightforward things. See, I was explaining, you know, that to get that happiness, what you need to do, I was explaining, the father has to take the role of the son. The wife, the husband has to take the role. Another thing that came to my mind, that one of the chief reasons for us not having that happiness within the home, right? What is the reason? The home has become a commercialized venture, what? It's become a commercialized thing, right? I know some people come here, come to the madrasa, and they say, I got a shock when I heard this type of story. I got a shock. See, you know, I have to put about 80,000 rand in my wife's hand for me to enjoy the peace for the month. Every month I must put 80,000 in her hands. Then I enjoy the peace. If I don't, I have to go to the bank, do anything, but I must put 80,000 rand in her hands to enjoy the peace for the month. So, it becomes a totally, purely commercialized venture. Now, that's one situation where it becomes commercialized. And the second situation where it becomes commercialized, that if you can't meet the target, right, our expenses like this, 30, 40, 50 grand we need a month. So if you can't see the target, then you must also work to supplement and reach the target. So the husband has to work, the wife has to work, right? She'll work however she needs to work, he'll work however he needs to work. But I ask you, right, when the woman is come up with a double responsibility, can she show the affection to the house, to the husband, to the domestic issue? Can she show it? She can't show it. Because if she has to be made a commercial venture, then she'll be with you physically. Her mind is on the samosas. You know the samosa order I got? And I need to see this. And that full moon and half moon, I need to get that. And the amount of pies, I need to get that. So physically she can be with you, but I ask you, mentally, will be she with you? She can't be, because her mind is occupied. I need to see these orders. They must come out. And what my client will tell me, you know, if I don't do it. So her mind is not with you. When her mind is not with you, she's in commerce, I ask you, can she show you love? She can't show you love. Yeah, the ulama will explain that you are in constraints, you know, you can't manage it, you know, you can't come out for the month. Then if she helps, it's a different thing. But now everything is flowing, but you must meet a certain target. Why? Because so often you have to go for umrah. So I have to work, you have to work, and then we can go for umrah. So often we need to buy this type of a motor car. So therefore we need to work. So often we need to go for a holiday. So we need to work like this. And we need to have a name in the public that we've got this against our name. For this type of cards, eh? Platinum card, and we've got this thing and whatever. So we've got a name and a reputation and image. So we have to stand up to that. And for that you have to also work. So is a heart with you, or is the heart in the finance? So I say that woman has become a commercial venture. When she's become a commercial venture, then you are looking for the wrong things in the wrong place. You're looking for love. Where are you looking for love? In the commerce. If she gives the commerce, or you give her the commerce, then she's fine, comfortable. And if you don't, then her mind is elsewhere. It's gone. Your mind is elsewhere. Her mind is elsewhere. See? So we have to now realign ourselves. See, we're gone in, I said the person is racing from Maritzburg to Durban and is racing in the wrong direction. So no matter how much you race, you can't win. The same way you see this person here, no matter what you do, you can't get the satisfaction, you can't get the happiness because your direction is wrong. Same, exactly the same.
He's saying, you woman, you stay in the house. Don't move out. Don't move out. And he said, no, I need to make this type of figures and all that for the peace of my mind. So, alright, run then. You run, you will never find the peace. You will never find happiness. Can't find it. It's impossible. You can't get it. You won't find the happiness. You won't find the love and respect. And Allah forbid, your children will become delinquents. They won't show you that respect. Because what they've been taught about is money and to come and live at this type of a level. So if they can bring about that type of wealth, they are with you and you are with them. And they can't, then you say, no, you are a stupid, you are a waste of time, you're good for nothing. And let me tell you this, swear you also. The parents will say to the sons, why you can't make that amount? So they say, you waste of time, you're a donkey or an ass, and they'll swear you. You must meet that amount. And the day the child became wealthier than the father, then the father is thrown away. He's a waste. You don't need him. I don't need this man. What do I need him for? He's a waste of time. You see, because the whole thing has become commercialized. So that's why I say that our whole direction went off. And you want the right direction, you have to realign yourself. Come back. So that was the first dua. رَبَّنَا اخْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. See, this, the Quran Sharif is a rule. It's a rule of life. And if you don't follow the rule of life, you can't come right. You know, we talk of all the troubles that are coming. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ فَمَسْتَقَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَدَرَّعُونَ. We had punished them, right? But they didn't relent. They didn't give up. You know, you relent. I said, oh, I relent. I give up. So they didn't lower themselves. وَمَا يَتَدَرَّعُونَ. And they didn't come and besiege my help. They didn't come and beg me. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ فَمَسْتَقَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَدَرَّعُونَ. That when you are in that position, this is what Allah wants from the Muslims all over. مَسْتَقَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. You're carrying on and on. But are you lowering yourself? Are you begging Allah's help? Are you coming to His doorstep and begging for help? Are you crying? So he's saying, this is a rule. This is the rule. And you want me to avert that, I will avert it. But you are showing total disregard. You are showing an attitude towards me. When you're showing an attitude and you want me to help you, forget it. So the first point is, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Right? And I explained the dua of which type of people, the highest lovers of life. You know, love, and love means you gave everything. You gave your life, your wealth, your home, everything you gave up. Only to see the love of Allah, that's all. You have nothing else in your life. You want this. So at the end of all their sacrifices, what they're saying? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Right? The second dua they're making, وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. Allah, in the process of coming to you, we must have overstepped the mark, you know, our excesses. Israf, we exceeded the limit. We were supposed to do it like this, but we know we exceeded the limit. You know, in the old days, the mehman come to the home. So when they're leaving, they say, So they say, no, we overstayed, make us mouth. And the host will say, no, tumko paachi aujo, ek dara hawaati aavi jajo. Come from the very morning, come in, right? Don't you hear that? Come from the very morning, you know. Don't you have that? If, whether it was a formality or whether it was genuine, I think it was genuine. The way they would talk about it, it was a genuine thing. Like, because you have homes now, and the mamala going, they're all crying. Hey, what good moments we had. And now, when they go on, they're crying. Now you will go to the cinema and see Leila Majnoon, and when they're loving and they're separating or something happens, then you're crying there in the cinema. Before the video, right? Before, that relationship was so good. It's all is nonsense. The cinema is all a made up. It's a make up thing. No, there's no truth in it. It's just a made up story. So for those false people, then you're crying and you're paying money for that. Camilla is made. What did you get out of it? It was genuine love. They met. They spoke. Now you got to know their halat. They came to know your halat. You're helping them, you're assisting them. Or if someone was dini conscious, a little bit more dini conscious, he says, oh, you must do your wepar like this. Your business, do it like this. Don't do it like this. It's haram. Do it like this.
So there was some exchange. You told some good words. They told you some good words. You learned something. You benefited. They benefited. I remember my mother about 40 years ago. So one cousin came to visit her. So all my mother told her, ke tara baal barabar nahi male. Your hair is not right. You know, when a person is young now, 1920, then all the style come up, then the hair come down, and they do like that. So my mother said, your hair is not right. Straight away he went, he corrected his hair, said, oh, baal barabar tha, my hair is right now. But imagine the immediate response, immediate. So there was an opportunity, there was a forum where everybody sat down, we spoke. If there was a need, to correct something, they corrected themselves. They had the heart to accept because they saw there was love being generated. So when you're showing love, then you will receive love as well. You showed love and you receive love. You showed respect, you will receive. You will keep your relationship like cold. Alright, how you got an appointment with you, can we come at this time? So that person asks, how long will you be there? What time will you come? Hey, you'll come, you'll eat and come, or we'll prepare for you. I know my one auntie was in Marinville, right? Mullahs. So one day we had to go there, right? So they ate and then they went. She got so upset with us. She said, For you people, I slaughtered this chicken here, this free range and all that, and prepared it. How nice it will be. We'll sit and eat and enjoy ourselves. And you will never come. Now, how they took it? It was genuine love. Genuine love it was, muhabbat. So, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. So this formal love doesn't work out. It's got no life. That come back to the original. You see, the simple things, that original, simple Muslim life, that's where you need to come back. Now, we went into this circular life, Western life, we see how they're living, and we're imitating them. They got cold lives. Father is dying next door, they don't know. So, why you just take to the mosque and do whatever you need to do? I'm talking of general cases. You know, I went to that Hawik. So they say that the old age there is about the best in the whole world. People from everywhere they're putting there. Yeah, the man is dying. The man told me that old man was his friend. So about the last second or third month before he could die, he phoned his two children, and both, one is a specialist in something, one is a specialist in something else. One is Australia, one is America. Thanks, big wealthy people. So now this man is crying, saying, I'm getting weak now. I just need you to come and see me for 1 week, 1 week or 2 weeks. I feel happy. So, hey, you carry on with your life, man. You're too busy. Meanwhile, the man died. And they didn't have the heart to come and see the father, attend the funeral, to tell the undertaker, just organize him, whatever the cost, he will sort it out. But we are too busy now. So, do we want to go in that direction? Cold lives. So, the way we emulating them, as though we're saying that we want to emulate your life. You know? And Allah is saying that وَلَا يَغُرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ. One is الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Don't let this life of the world deceive you. And let not the chief deceiver deceive you. The chief deceiver is shaitan. The life of the world also deceives, right? It's just a glitter. Until when you come to a decline, when you're 60, 55, 60, and everybody's coming to a decline, then you start saying, hey, what's it? I don't have the strength, I don't have the stamina, I don't have the things, I can't do it like I was doing. Then, Labak says, don't let this life deceive you. Don't let shaitan deceive you. Because shaitan tells you, you got it, enjoy it to the best. Enjoy the best, have you got it, right? That is what he's telling you. What he's telling you that, don't worry about the hereafter, by that, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. But now you got the money, enjoy the money, make the money, and enjoy the ultimate. And what the hadith is saying, it's not saying that don't enjoy. By enjoy, but don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, but don't forget Allah Ta'ala. That must be the primary concern. Don't forget that you have to reach Allah Ta'ala. You have to answer Him. You have to be standing before Him. So you got this in perspective, everything, your whole life is running well. But you don't have this in perspective, then you lost the whole match. Like I said, you're running in the opposite direction, you want to come out first. How is it going to happen? Kisna se banega? So the second part of this dua, رَبَّنَا فِلْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Look how powerful this dua is. See, when there's so much of things going on, commotion, confusion, one person is saying do this, one person is saying don't do this, one says this is right, that is right. So in all this confusion now, you know, it's like a tsunami, you'll be swept off your feet. You'll not be able to see the right. He's saying, no, this is not right. This is right. One person is saying, no, the parda is in the heart. Yeah, divada log hoge. That means you can walk around with the bikinis, all right. That's what she's saying. Before we had modudi, now we had vadudi. So all these dude people, see. رَبَّنَا اَخْفِلْنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. The third one, وَثَبِّتْ in all this tsunami, this floods that are going. Allah, just keep us firm. Because there's so many things that are going on. Around us, anything can attract us. This can attract us, that can attract us, everything can attract us. So Allah Ta'ala, just keep us firm. So we don't get distracted this way or that way. Forward, backwards, sideways. We just remain firm. وَنْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Now you may ask, then how does he reply? وَنْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ. Assist us, support us against the kuffar, right? One is in the battle plane, on the jihad plane, right? Support us against the kuffar. But you can perhaps make i'tibar, right? I'tibar is a different thing now. Some other day I'll explain it, inshallah. But i'tibar, وَنْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِ. The kuffar ways are running. Their trends are moving. Their styles are moving. Their education is moving. The media is running. Oh Allah Ta'ala, save us from their ways, their styles, their mannerisms, their values, their fashions, their dressing, their immodesty, their immorality, their education. Allah, save us from that. Because you want to have the upper hand over the kafir. Why? Because of his being kafir. No. Because his ways are wrong. When his ways are wrong, so you should be in a different line. He's in a different way. So Allah Ta'ala, we can't have the upper hand. Because we can't get into jihad today. When we can't get that, at least we be a good example, a right example of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that can only happen if you support us against the influence of this kuffar. But I ask you, isn't this dua now, as I explained now, isn't it something that is very important for this zamana? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. But the thing in dua is that, you don't read a dua, you cry out a dua. You don't read out a dua. You cry, Allah, please make it happen. Even if it's three times, say it. Even if it's one time. But with that focus of mind, Rabbana khfil lana zunubana, Allah really caused it. Really, really messed things up, Allah. Do forgive us, Allah. You do forgive us. But you see how this is called istakanu li rabbim. You relented. You gave up. You broke down. Someone comes to you, Ajisa, say, boss, you know, I'm broken down. He holds your feet and he's crying. You're cheap. The hardest person says, oh, you know, he takes 50 and or something, go now. When do you do that? The man is broken down, he's crying. He's got nothing, I got no home, nothing. But I take his 100 and go, please, man, go. When do you say that? So, when you can be so compassionate to the person that is beseeching your help, and if you are beseeching the help of Allah Ta'ala, but with this frame of mind, Rabbana fill lana zunubana, no, not like that. Who are you crying to? You're just reading out a dua. You're just making a publicity of this dua. Why? That must come, that you're relenting. I'm desperate. I got no way. I got no support. Nothing I've got. Allah, you can make it happen. Now you see this. This is what Allah wants. Rabbana fill lana zunubana wa israfana fi amrina. Keep us firm. Things are moving and they're moving at a tremendous pace. As the hadith saying, you know, can examine Balin, like the bead of a tasbih, how it snaps and how the thing falls in succession, like that.